This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Save a Pooch on Pet Life Radio. I am Beverly Isla, your host. Thank you for listening in today. Our special guest today is Sarah Cavallaro, author of the award-winning novel Dogs Have Angels 2. Now, Sarah's powerful story takes us through the fall and redemption of a woman who loses everything, her career, her marriage, her home, and finds hope and healing through the unconditional love of shelter dogs. Now, Sarah's work not only shines a light on the emotional lives of animals, but also reflects on homelessness, reinvention, and the quiet heroes working in animal rescue every day. So it's a story that speaks to the resilience of both humans and animals. When we get back from these messages, we'll be joined by Sarah Cavallaro.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Save a Pooch. We're speaking with Sarah Cavallaro, author of Dogs Have Angels 2. So Sarah, thank you so much for being here today. Your book is emotional and incredibly compassionate. So before we dive deep, could you share a brief synopsis of Dogs Have Angels 2 for our listeners?
Yes, it's about a woman who loses everything. She was a high-powered executive in marketing in New York. She goes through a complete trauma in that she loses her job. She's in her 50s. It's during the financial crisis of, I believe, 08. The Ponzi schemes are running very, very strong, and she loses her retirement. She therefore cannot afford her rent. She loses her apartment. She has super pride and she doesn't want to let anybody know. She does apply for jobs, but she doesn't actually get them because she loses teeth and she doesn't have the funding, you know, or the resources to get some teeth. So she goes to Central Park often and her original name is Alina Schwartz. She morphs herself into Miss Pink because she loves to wear pink. She ends up being a top dog rescuer and rescues a lot of women who are also going through similar issues and the dogs. And that's pretty much what it is. It's a journey of self-discovery. It's a journey of redemption. It's optimistic. And it's a reinvention. And it's saving people and animals.
That's amazing. So what inspired you to write it? And I was also wondering how much of her story was drawn from your personal experience.
Well, as a writer, I'm always drawing from my own personal experience. It may not be as literal. It could be the spiritual aspects of it or what I needed to learn from certain circumstances. So my background is I was a founder and the president of a very successful TV commercial production company. And I'd done that for many, many years. It was located in New York. And I'd often go to Central Park and just for rest, just to rest my mind. And I talked to people, and this Lena Schwartz, who I'm calling her Lena Schwartz, but that's not really her real name. This woman would sometimes come and sit on a bench next to me, and we talk, and she talked about her life. And her life kind of paralleled some aspects of my life at the time. I mean, I was always down and owning your own company, you know, and being independent and, you know, going through a lot of different personal crises. So I kind of fictionalized her story, but she did love animals and she was going through a really hard time and she was desperately trying to reinvent her life. And so I created stories around how she did that.
That's amazing. So her journey is obviously deeply tied to her connection with dogs. Now, Can you talk about what animals have meant to you in your life?
Well, they've meant everything to me because when I was, first of all, I wasn't allowed to have them when I was a little girl, even though I did find a little kitten and I took the kitten home. And I was a young girl and my father didn't want animals in the house. And so he took the little kitten and put the kitten in a grocery store kind of entranceway or a parking lot entranceway, hoping that, you know, somebody would find this kitten. I'm hoping they did find that kitten. But when I went off to college, it was in Ohio, and I ended up going to a shelter. And in those days, it was in the 70s, they were euthanizing a lot. And I rescued a little puppy. And this puppy came and lived with me in the dorm, even though we weren't allowed to have them. And then I moved to New York and I brought my little dog with me. And her name is Athena. And the main character in the book is Athena. And it's all about saving these animals and not euthanizing them. Just because they're abandoned or they're old or whatever, I mean, I think it's a crime to kill an animal like that unless it's a violent situation and you can't help it.
Right, right. That would be the ideal scenario where, you know, the euthanization rate is zero. A lot more in that industry. Now, the character that you mentioned, is it Athena?
Yeah, little Athena. She looked like a little fawn. And I made a story around her in the book because I had a couple. I made up a story because I've observed this and it actually happened to me. I had a boyfriend that didn't like my little dog. And he...
Shame. You
know, yeah, he would threaten. Well, he didn't like the little dog because the dog had bladder problems and she peed a lot everywhere. And it didn't bother me, but it bothered him. So in the book, I have the boyfriend telling her, look, if you don't get rid of this dog, I'm leaving. And so she's actually forced to surrender her dog. And who rescues her? Miss Pink. And the whole narrative on this young woman, Cindy has to prove to Miss Pink that she can take care of that dog before Miss Pink's going to give her back the dog because Miss Pink legally adopted Athena. So, you know, there's that narrative. It's what do you do when a couple's fighting over who wants a dog, who doesn't want a dog, you know, and you have the dog. So it's about taking care of your animals, regardless.
Right. And so Athena's story in the book, or I guess Athena's story in your life, was that one of the major like inspirations of the scenes in your book?
Yes, one of them. I mean, I have many. I have many, many different aspects of the book. I have the dog rescue aspect and how to create that and to stop doing the puppy mills. And it's all through storytelling. I mean, these are characters that are evolving and growing and learning their own path. And I have an adventure part of it in which I have the wife of the Ponzi schemer, who's also losing everything because the FBI they've arrested her husband and they're taking away her money. And she has a little dog named Abigail that she walks in the park. And Miss Pink becomes friendly with Miss Wolf. And Miss Wolf is this very wealthy lady who lost all of her money. So what did they do? She kind of teaches Miss Wolf also to be responsible and how you handle that. And she also wants Miss Wolf wants to hide her money. So she puts it into diamonds so that the FBI don't get it and they make dog collars. And so where does this money go?
Oh, wow.
It goes to building shelters. So everything has a cause. There's a reason.
Yeah, that's amazing that you tied all those dots together. No wonder why you're a TV commercial producer.
I wanted to do an adventure and fun also and lighthearted, but I also needed to have, I wanted all of the missions in there. Like, why do you keep your money? You want to save something. You want to save
it. Right, exactly. And I really commend your storytelling because really the lessons that stick to people are those told through stories. I really commend you for that. Let's switch gears a little bit because I do want to touch on the nuanced look, I guess, at homelessness among women because your book also touches on that. So what is it that you wish more people understood about this issue?
Well, I'll tell you, this is a very, very important issue to understand because you have to understand, A, how people become homeless and especially women. Women have enormous pride in their looks. And, you know, the way that their environment is like, there's a homeless woman near me. I live in Los Angeles and she literally has created a mini apartment that she sweeps on the sidewalk.
Wow.
Yeah. Like it's decorated. Okay. And it tells me so much about who she is. Yes, she's I think mentally something happened mentally. I can't diagnose her. I'm not a, you know,
for sure.
But something happened to, in her life that created this. And so when I lived in New York, I saw a ton of women going through financial crisis. Tons of women had lost their jobs in these big companies in 08 when we had the financial crisis. And they didn't know how to get jobs. They didn't know what to do. A lot of them were in their late 50s. And it's a very worrisome situation when, you know, you're an executive. Where do you go? What do you do? You have very high rent. Your kids are in college. Like, maybe you're supporting. It's a single woman that's supporting her family. So homelessness. Okay, now, how do you get there? Many, many ways people become homeless. I think mental, emotional, all that really pushes you into that position. And obviously the whole drug thing, but that's another story. So the homelessness is, I aligned with a really interesting organization, and I actually speak about them a lot. And that is that the homeless people should be able to hold on to their dogs, and those dogs should be taken care of. And this Feeding Pets of the Homeless, which you could find on the website, the dogshaveangels2.com website, they take care of the dogs of the homeless. They feed them and they give them medical care around the nation. And it was founded by a woman who in New York saw homeless women and homeless men with their dogs. And she said, well, how do you take care of these animals? And so she founded this organization. So that's part of it also, you know. Miss Pink becomes homeless, but she becomes sometimes homeless and sometimes she goes into shelters. But she finds more comfort in sleeping in the park bench than she does in sleeping in the shelters, because the shelters are very repressive and they didn't allow then the dogs. I don't know what they are now in New York, but they didn't allow her to keep her dogs. So she wanted to keep all her dogs. And so she chose to be homeless. And that's something I touched upon in the book and created a little story about that as well.
Oh, wow. That is an issue that can be debated for sure. And that is, is dogs better off being with homeless unhoused, I should say, versus being in a shelter? So I'm glad that you did touch on that in your book to raise more questions that need to be asked in this arena. But let's go to a quick break. And when we get back, we'll continue our conversation with Sarah Cavallaro.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Save a Pooch. We're talking with Sarah Cavallaro, author of Dogs Have Angels Too. So the theme of redemption that runs through Lena's life and the lives of the dogs that she works with, what would you ideally hope readers take away from that parallel?
Well, you have to really be responsible for your animals, and you have to, I mean, truly be responsible. You have to train them properly. You have to take care of them properly. You have to love them. And it can't be at your convenience that you love them. And you have to really think of the welfare of the animal. Miss Pink thinks of Miss Pink, Lena Schwartz, AKA Miss Pink. She thinks of the animals. And what makes her so inspirational is they trump her needs. And I love that. And if I can share that, it teaches me something, and it gives me hope, and it educates me. And I would love to just pass that on, because it has a sense of altruism. And I believe in altruism. I don't think that it's a, I know people say it's not, it can't happen, but I believe it can, because it's just a shift in consciousness. It's just a shift in how you see something.
Well, when you said that statement, you have to repeat it again. Their needs triumph hers.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the example with my parents, because they're elders, but they want a dog for their company. And, you know, just having they wanted a so-called guard dog. But when I'm talking to them about this, truthfully, are you really going to walk the dog? No. If you want a guard dog, those guard dogs would need stimulation and constant training to embody being a guard dog. Are you willing to do that? No. So it's a perfect example of me telling my parents, you know what? No, you cannot have a dog. As much as I would love you to see, or I'd love to see you more happy and, you know, bring more joy through having a dog, you kind of deserve a dog because you won't be able to walk them or give it the attention that it needs. So that's a really great statement that you mentioned there.
Well, are your parents, can they walk?
One can barely. But if one that can walk doesn't even walk himself, well, I don't know if he can walk another being.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole thing about senior dogs too now, because senior dogs are really good with older people, but they take a lot of care, and also there's an expense, and people have to look at the expense of handling dogs too. You know, it's not cheap.
No, it certainly isn't. Certainly isn't, especially with the unexpected costs. So yeah, finances is a top reason up there.
So there's organizations actually that will pay for some of the healthcare too. There's so many now that are so fantastic. There's so much awareness in this area. I think it's like phenomenal. It never was like this 10 years ago. I mean, this is something else. So I'm hoping all of this awareness is going to slow this process of cruelty down. And
right.
I'm hoping.
I believe I actually interviewed someone whose purpose is to help seniors that have dogs so they don't have to surrender them based on their capability. So I thought that was a really interesting mission that they have. But you're right, they are popping up more and more. So that's great to see.
Yeah, because senior dogs cost. What happens is when they get senior, obviously the medical care, the people can't afford that. So they surrender very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. All of the foster dogs I've had came from seniors not being able to take care of them. And those dogs were perfectly fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you write so beautifully about the silent trauma that animals carry.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what can listeners do to better support shelter pets in their communities?
Well, adopt them and also foster them, adopt them, and stop the puppy mills, because that's what they can do too. You know, it's like at the core of it, right? Educate people to not take animals that they can't take care of. But that's a hard one, because everybody wants an animal. And then, you know, after a couple of years, you know, life is always changing, as we know, and sometimes not for our convenience. You know, there's a lot going on in this life. So I don't know. I would just say try to foster and adopt this and keep these facilities really well financed so that they can take care of the animals properly.
For sure. For sure. What's your take on ethical breeding?
I'm not proficient in this. You know what I mean? I don't know what ethical breeding means. I can say one thing. Puppy mills is not ethical breeding. You can't breed just for profit. I mean, that's not ethical, in my opinion. You just can't breed and breed and breed and breed animals. It's like keeping these horses where they keep them pregnant all the time. It's not right. It's not good for them. So I don't know. I guess that's ethical, or I don't know what ethical is, but I think it's cruel, really cruel, to keep an animal pregnant all the time so that you can make money off that animal. That to me is kind of gross. So
right.
That's my opinion. That's...
Well, thank you for that. That is an area that is, I'm not too knowledgeable on that as well. I do know that there are some organizations that educate people on ethical breeding. Again, yeah, I'm not even going to try to reiterate some of that.
That's like a discipline unto itself, and it's all
actually
a business. Like, they have business principles attached to this. Like, I'm sure that these organizations, you know, these full bred, you know, where they breed full, you know, show dogs and all of that, I'm sure that they have their rules.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's stringent when it comes to, I mean, if you're thinking about that word ethical, but yeah, that's a loaded word. So
it's loaded. It's loaded. It's loaded, because I don't know if ethical is just one definition. Everybody seems to have different definitions of what their ethical means. So is it the law? You know, the law is different than ethical. So
right.
What is the law? I don't know what the law is actually. I really don't. In regard to, I know puppy mills in some states are illegal, but in other states, they're legal. So what does that mean? I mean, you're going to have more problems in one state than another. And, you know,
I guess that's where like a lot of conflicts are in this whole industry, is the fuzziness of terms and rules and whatnot. So let's talk about your upcoming projects, or let's turn it light a little.
Hopeful and more in control of what we can do as humans, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tell us about your upcoming projects or initiatives.
Okay. One really major initiative that I'm trying to put the pedal to the metal, as my son.
Well, please tell me you're gonna produce a movie? Come on.
Yes. I don't know if I will produce the movie, because I did TV commercials. I didn't do movies. But what I would like to do is get this move, this book. It was adapted into a screenplay, but then that
didn't move
forward in the way that it was.
Oh.
So that it's a beautiful screenplay. So I would like to get this made into a movie by, you know, a fantastic movie producer or director or, you know, studio. And I would also love to do a TV series, because I see this also as a TV series.
Nice.
And align with, you know, that group of people. And so that's what I'm really focused on now. And also, this could be a fantastic platform for dog adoption once this moves forward, because you're going to use the dogs in the work.
For sure.
Yeah, so I think it could be great. I think it brings a lot of awareness. I think it can align with a lot of rescues. There's a lot of wonderful actors and actresses that are dog lovers and dog rescuers. So I'm hoping, you know, God willing, that this moves in that direction.
Well, I put it all out there that it does.
Thank you.
You would be tackling more than multiple issues in your work here.
I'm ready for it. And I think that there's a lot of people that would love to get involved with this. It has a lot of meaning and it's visual. So that's that.
Very, very much so. And you are talented at bringing out the emotions.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are out of time, Sarah. Thank you again for joining us and for bringing such a heartfelt voice to the world of animal rescue. And your work reminds us that healing can come in the most unexpected forms, and that love is transformative.
Thank you, Beverly. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. Thank your audience.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks to our show producer, Mark Winter.
Thank you, Mark Winter,
for making this show possible. And you can learn more about Sarah and Dogs Have Angels 2 by visiting dogshaveangels2.com. We'll also have the link posted on our show page. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email me at beverly@petliferadio.com. So until next time, spread animal compassion.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.